you saved, say amen.
Amen. Amen. We've been over that before, but some of y'all get glad about it one of these days. And you'll be able to enjoy it, and the rest of us will be glad that you are enjoying it. So we'll be able to enjoy your salvation too. Amen. Exodus chapter number 2 tonight. Exodus chapter number 2. I believe this is where we're supposed to be for this afternoon. I want to try to be a help and a blessing to the people of God. I was thinking as I rode down the mountain this evening, it was just taking me back to when God gave me this message. And I want to be a help and a blessing to you. When you find your place in Exodus chapter 2, I ask you to stand your feet in honor and reverence to God's precious and holy word. Exodus chapter number 2, sure do appreciate Brother Mark allowing us to come down. And funny how that works. Lord had him on my heart this morning. I just text him, check on him, tell him I'm praying for him and love him. And I love how God works stuff like that out. I love you, church. You know that. I love getting to preach here. Love what you've done and days gone by just to be kind to us. And I appreciate that. But I'm going to quote you a verse before I read our text tonight. And before it's over with tonight, I'll draw a line between these two verses. The verse I'm going to quote to you is Psalms chapter number 37, verse number 23. David writes in that verse, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, Exodus chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." The woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Let's ask God's help in the service tonight. Father, in Jesus' name we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your goodness, for your kindness, and for your power. God, thank you for touching all day long. Thank you for opening divine doors. Thank you for blessings upon blessings. God, we're undeserving of anything but hell and judgment. We know that. But we thank you so much that you've given us a local New Testament church on this side of eternity, God. And we're so excited to be with these people. Help our hearts. Help them to be attentive. God, that you'd speak and teach us in the Scriptures as you'd have us to be instructed, convict and save sinners. Guide our lives. We know that you will. We love you. We beg you, help us direct our steps in this hour. In Jesus' precious name, with much thanksgiving, amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in honor and reverence to God's precious and holy word. Now, before I get into this, I will remind you it is Super Bowl Sunday, and if y'all don't help me out, I'll preach for 2.5 hours. I'm just kidding. Y'all know I'm kidding, but remember that. Okay, think with me tonight as we look in Exodus chapter number 2 and Psalm chapter number 37. No doubt your mind is wondering, what in the world am I going to be dealing with tonight? And I've got to give you kind of a background from how God gave me this message before I can really give you the rest of the message, so hang with me just a moment. I began thinking about this, Brother Mark, as a matter of fact, it was the week of Thanksgiving, and I was headed down the road, and God began, had been speaking to my heart about this thought for some time. I just didn't have it put together, and did not have everything right in order, so to speak. And I was headed, it was the week of Thanksgiving, the first part of the week. I had preached in South Carolina all day on Sunday, went to Brother Davies and picked him up and drove him to Georgia Monday and Tuesday. We went through Atlanta 2 different days, came back, and then on my off day on Wednesday morning, and I had something scheduled. I was in Fletcher preaching on that Wednesday night. I was going to get up Thursday morning, go down to Brother Sammy Allen's camp meeting, and I preached down there Thursday and Friday of that week. But anyways, it was a busy week, and on my day off, I decided I was going to get back on the road, drive all the way to Lenore, and pick up a guitar. And that's just what I do. I enjoy things like that. Hang with me just a minute. Don't fall out with me just yet, but let me give you this. I started down the road. I was picking it up for one of my guitar students, the parents were going to pick it up for him, and I headed down the road. I knew the guy I was meeting. It wasn't something shady. I knew I was going to meet him at his church down in Lenore, and we had picked together before. I'd swapped guitars, and y'all know I enjoy stuff like that. Lord willing, after service, I'm going to do some more of it. But anyways, as I headed down the road that morning, that's just how I relax, by the way. That's how I deal with Baptists, because I work full time and I preach all the time, and I teach about 7 students on the side. And so how I deal with things is I like messing with guitars. That's just how I unwind. That's how I deal with you people. I'm just kidding. By the way, every preacher needs something to unwind with. But anyhow, so don't get upset at your preacher fishing or hunting or whatever else he does. But think with me as we think about this. I was headed down the road that day. I was in the car by myself. The phone wasn't ringing. Things wasn't going on, Brother Mark. I was just happy. I was calm. I was already relaxing. It was like a mini vacation. Now, I was headed down the road just happy, listening to Christian radio. It was the day before Thanksgiving. There wasn't that bad traffic. Now, I was heading, you know, through Spruce Pine and started headed the way that I thought I was going to get to the interstate. See, I was going to get to Lenore. For me, the quickest way is to cut down by your house and to go down here to 40 and ride it there, and that's the quickest way for me, because I like the interstate. Anybody else like the interstate? You can get on it, you can set your cruise, you can pass the slow pokes, and you can get around and get where you're going. And my soul, if you're one of those people that cruises in the left lane and will not do the speed limit, move over. In Jesus' name. That is not right. Anyways, I was headed through Spruce Pine. I got to right there where I was going to cut down grassy creek. Before I got there, I got to that red light there at Bakersville, and I got around through there, and that verse came across the radio. It was the week of Thanksgiving, so I thought it was appropriate. It said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I thought, well, that's nice. You know, how pleasant. And I thought, you know, that's nice. And I was meditating, and I come around the curve there. And I was enjoying myself, you know, just thinking about the scripture. And I was getting ready to come down and make my quick trip down there and back up the road. And before I could round that curve, before I knew, I already had my GPS coordinates plugged in. I mean, everything was right. Everything was in order. I come around that curve and was getting ready to cut off a grassy creek. Before I could get there, you know what I saw? Fire trucks and state trooper cars and barrels and cones and all that other mess. You know what it was? It was a detour. And you know what I had to do? It wasn't even on the GPS. Most of the time it pop up on the GPS, it'll direct you around. It wouldn't even, so I went on the 3 mile. Like I said, I'll go through Avery County and cut down, and I'll come right down, and we'll come down through the gorge and have a big old time. You know, we'll go that way. Well, I cut up through there. I followed it up through there past them other churches and them other places, and we started down the way I knew to go. And all of a sudden, that lady on the GPS decides to take me this way off this other road. And apparently it parallels the parkway or something like that back in there. I'd never been on that road before. I couldn't tell you where it is. Honestly, to tell you right now, I couldn't tell you where it is. And I was fussing and arguing with that lady on the GPS. Somebody say amen right there. Don't act so sanctified, my soul. That is the bossiest woman on the face of the earth. And I was arguing and fussing at that woman. I was telling her to hush and all this other stuff, like the rest of y'all grinning and laughing because you do the same thing. Hey, by the way, by the time it comes for me to get married, I will be prepared. Hey, man. And I started down the road, and she took me down this side road, and I pulled over. So I was thinking, oh girl, you crazy. I ain't doing this. Now, it's because, I mean, it had the right address, the same address plugged in. But Brother Mark, I kept sitting there and thinking. I thought, you know what? You know, it's my day off, whatever. You know, it's my morning off or whatever. I'm just going to go with it. And I just started down through there, and I didn't get down through there 2 or 3 miles, and God started letting me see some beauty I had never seen before. God started letting me enjoy some things that I never got to enjoy before. God took me down a road I'd never been on before, literally, and He let me pray. And you know what's amazing about this? God began speaking to my heart and convicting me. He said, you know, I didn't let you go down that road back there for a reason, but I didn't know it at the time. I got down that road and began going down that road and realized God started showing me trees and beautiful things and mountains and scenery and valleys, things I had never seen in my life. And I've lived here for 26 years. You know what God started speaking to my heart about from the scriptures? I'm preaching tonight on this thought. By the way, I did get to my destination just like I was supposed to. And it didn't take me, it did take me a little longer. I had to slow down. And a matter of fact, it protected me from things that I didn't know were in the way before I started my journey. And I got to see beauty and enjoy some things I never would have enjoyed or never got to see. I'm preaching tonight on this thought, divine detours. Divine detour. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Psalm 37, think with me, verse 23. I said a moment ago, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And by the way, when I got down there to get that guitar, I was as relaxed and cool as a cucumber. I was happy in my soul. I was so tickled to death. The guitar was what it was supposed to be. I mean, I got back home. I even took a different route back home. It took me a completely different way back home. Had to come through another detour on the way back home. And I finally got it back up the road. God started opening up the scriptures to my heart and showing me some things through the Word of God. Let me remind you of this as I get my introduction before I give you Psalm 37. Do you know that Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is a divine detour? Because he was in that great revival in Samaria and God called him aside, Brother Mark, and he went out to preach to one man that did not know how to understand the scriptures. God saved that man and took him back to his home country and did something with him. Joseph and Mary, think about that. God said, came to Joseph in a dream and said, take the young child into Egypt, for Herod's going to kill that boy if he gets his hands on him, so to speak. Think about Joseph in the book of Genesis. He knew that it was God's will for him to end up in the palace. God had given him a dream that one day the sun and the moon and the stars were going to bow down to him. But from that dream until the day that he sat on the throne, God had to detour his life through the pit, through Potiphar's house, through Egypt, through the prison cell before he ever took him. By the way, God has a plan for your life, Christian. God has a design, God has a will, and God has a way for get you where you're supposed to be in life. But it oftentimes takes divine detours to get us where we're supposed to be. Think with me tonight on this thought. Psalm 37, I'm reminded of this. The steps of a good man are ordered. That word order means they're established. That God has set up the pathway. Christian, when God saved you, He started you on a journey not just to heaven, but to serve Him and to do great things for Him. And when He gets you on that journey, do not be surprised if the course does take an alternate route every now and then. You know what a detour is? It's defined as an alternate way of course. A roundabout way of course. You're still going to the same place, but it came to a different way of getting there. If you're like me, this is how I am. I'm bad for this. I like things to stay the same. Don't you? I like consistency. I like everything. I mean, I like it click, 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 just like that. And guess what? Life don't always work that way, does it? It don't always go just right on schedule. I want everything in order. I want everything right down the line. But God has a way, my soul, Christian, God has a way of allowing things in life to take us different courses to protect us and let us enjoy the journey and let us see things we've never got to enjoy. God has established our way. God is protecting us. Think about David as God protected him from the day that he anointed him to the day that he would be king. All those detours of running from Saul, all those things that God allowed in life that he would never have gone through. We wouldn't have half the Psalms that we have had God not detoured David's life through those places. We would not have the book of Daniel. Daniel would not have made it through the Babylonian captivity had God not sent him down there for that time and given us such help. The book of Job, we would not draw the help from the book of Job that we draw today had God not detoured that man's life to give him a double portion. Think about John the Beloved for just a minute. We're going to get to Moses in just a second. Give me just a second. John the Beloved, God detoured his life one day to the Isle of Patmos to give you and I the book of Revelation. Do you understand it hurt John to go through that thing physically? It was difficult. It was annoying. It was aggravating. By the Christian, look up out here for just a second. Things come in life that are not comfortable. They are not enjoyable. They do not want to, you do not want them there at times, and you wish a million times over it was not the way that it was. But God has a way of allowing. On that trip I took that day, I was fussing the whole time until the Holy Ghost finally elbowed me and said, "Hush and look." And I finally quit my fussing and looked around. And it took my breath away. And I realized how foolish I was for complaining about such a detour. Christian, go to Exodus 2. I'll give you this message and I'll be done. I spent longer in introduction than I meant to. But Exodus 2, I want to help you tonight. I want you to remember something. God has your Christian life took care of. He's got your journey. Hey, look with me in Moses' life in Exodus 2. Notice, first of all, Moses' mentality. Look at verse number 11. Moses' mentality. I want you to see this. "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out on the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known." Notice first of all, Moses' mentality. As we look at this divine detour in the life of Moses, I want you to realize, first of all, Moses' presumption. Look at what the Bible says again. The Bible says that he looked this way and that way, and he saw that there was no man. He slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. You know what happened to Moses in this text? Moses, in our text tonight, is assuming and presuming that he is ready to lead God's people. Give me just a second. Acts chapter number 7, Stephen is preaching. And as he's preaching, he's going through the life of Moses. And as he's going through the life of Moses, you remember what happened? As Stephen is preaching that, he goes to his brethren. He relays the story that Moses goes to his brethren the next day, because the Bible says that he supposed that they would understand how that he was going to deliver them. You know what Moses knew? He knew God's plan for his life. He knew God had a purpose for his life. Christian, God has a purpose for your life. Not just to preach, not just to sing, not just to... God has something for you to do. God raised him up to be a deliverer. Christian, do you know what God has raised you to do? He has raised you to be a deliverer. He was a picture of the Savior. You're supposed to be a picture of the Savior. When God saved you, he had a purpose so that you could win others to him. God has a purpose for your life. But you see his presumption in this, just because. See, Moses knew, Brother Mark, Moses knew that God had a plan for his life. By the way, you can know that God has a plan for your life, but you don't always know the pathway that God's going to choose to get you there. You see his presumption. He assumed and presumed that he was ready to lead God's people out of bondage. But let me remind you of this. Just because you know it's God's will for you to accomplish something for him does not mean that it is going to be completely fulfilled in your life today. Somebody help me tonight. Does not necessarily mean, hey, just because you can drive doesn't mean you're supposed to be in NASCAR tomorrow. Amen. Some of you women need to sign up, though. I've watched how you come in this parking lot. You see his presumption. I'm joking only, you understand that. You see his presumption, but you see his power. Look at his power. You know what he did? The Bible says he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Moses is looking at his brethren that are under oppression. They are being beat down. They are tied. He knows that one day they're leaving Egypt, and God's going to use him to do it. But you got to remember something. It was not time yet to get it done. And as Moses comes to this point, he has the strength to do it. Haven't you noticed oftentimes in life that we're just strong enough to mess everything up? I'm gonna lay this out, and I hope you get it, because I see it in my own life. A whole lot of times, my greatest strengths become my greatest weaknesses. You'll find it's the same way in your life too. A whole lot of times, the places you cling to for your strength, a lot of times, those things you think you've mastered are going to be your greatest weaknesses. You know what Moses could do? He was raised in the ways of the Egyptians. He knew their ways. He was raised up with the finest food. He was raised up with the finest education. He was raised up with the knowledge of their warfare. He was a soldier. He was a man's man. You did not mess with Moses. He was the man to be. Pharaoh's adopted grandson had it all at his fingertips. He knew the ways. He knew the warfare. He knew the worship. He knew it all. But his power became his greatest weakness. Not only his presumption, not only his power, but you see his problem. Moses knew it all. Moses could do it all. And Moses could handle it all. Anybody else ever been there? You know it all. Don't look at me like that. You can handle it all. Okay, men, hang on with me just a minute. We don't need no help, do we? We got this under control, don't we? Come on now. Some of you wives elbowing them. You can handle it all. You can do it all. And we get that way, Brother Mark, because we have this thing called pride in us. And we want to be able to do it. That's just normal. I understand that's carnal normal. But you got to remember something. In the life of a Christian and with the Christian work, it will never be accomplished in the strength and energy of the flesh. This church will never grow. You'll never see sinners saved. You'll never see missionaries go. You'll never see anything accomplished for God in the energy of yourself. But you'd be surprised how many people tonight are trying in the energy of the flesh, and they're doing just like Moses. They're putting their hands on it, and they're messing everything up. I've been there before, and so have you. His presumption, his power, his problem. You know what's amazing? See, Moses is 40 years old when this happens, when he kills the Egyptian. He thinks he's doing the right thing. He thinks he's helping out his brethren. He thinks he's adding to the cause. He thinks he's getting ready to lead them out. And he goes out the next day, and they look at him, his brethren. He breaks up the fight, and he's saying, "What are you doing?" And they look at him like, "Who are you trying to tell me what to do?" You know why? Because Moses' time and God's timing were about 40 years off. You ever been off on God's timing before? I know I'm probably the only one in here that's ever missed it. But you see Moses' mentality through this. I hope this is helping somebody tonight. I'm going somewhere. I promise I'm going somewhere. Skip with me to the next text. Go to chapter number 3, verse number 1. Exodus 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt.' When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.'" Notice not only Moses' mentality, but from the end of verse number 15, from verse 16 down through verse 25 of chapter 2, and then we see Moses again in chapter number 3. There has been something take place in the life of Moses. Not only do you see his mentality in chapter number 2, but I want you to see in chapter 3 that Moses had to mature. Anybody ever had to mature before God would let you do anything at times? I'm going somewhere with this whole divine detour thing. Just give me just a little while. Moses, after he kills the Egyptian, he comes back and he realizes after dealing with his brethren things not being the right time, he realizes that they know, and Pharaoh begins to find out about this, and so he seeks to kill Moses. So Moses, being a normal man, he runs to the wilderness and he hides himself out there in Midian, and that's where he meets Jethro, his father-in-law, and that's not talking about the Beverly Hillbillies either. That's where he finds his father-in-law, and that's where he marries his wife, and that's where they have their children, and that's where he raises his family. And over that course of 40 years, he focuses on three things. He tends to the flock of his father-in-law. He learns these three things. He learns how to focus on his family. He learns how to focus on the flock. And he learns how to focus on the Father. Christian, God may take you to some places in life. Everybody look at me for just a minute. God may take you to some places in life where you'll focus on the Father, focus on your family, and focus on the flock. There's a lot of people getting out of focus. I found myself in days, bro. I found myself, and I know I don't have a wife and kids yet, I understand that. But I found myself in days gone by, I get so wrapped up, Brother Mark. I get so wrapped up in everything else and going and doing all the time. I find myself getting wrapped up in the doing of all of it and trying to accomplish all of it, trying to do what God's called me to do, knowing what He's put in me to do. And then I forget so often to keep my focus on what matters. I know y'all understand what I'm talking about. The older I get, the more I realize how important those three things are. If you can learn how to love God, love your family, and love your church, your life will be so much better. You'll understand some things that a lot of people don't understand. Please remember this. Oh, hang with me just a minute. In the rat race of life, things get busy. I know you got to work. I know you got to provide. I'm not talking about laziness. I'm talking about being faithful. Please remember in the rat race of life to take time for God. Take time for your family. Take time for your church. Why is every church in McDowell County not slammed full on this Sunday night? Because people are too busy in the rat race. Chasing entertainment and chasing money and chasing this and chasing that to be with their family in the house of God. There's nothing better than when family, the Father, and the flock combines and they call it the local church. Take time to focus on what matters. Life is short. You see, first of all, you know what God was doing during those 40 years? As, like I said a moment ago, He's focusing on those three things. And during those 40 years, as God began to mature Moses, first of all, I want you to remember there was a change made. Look at what He's doing. Verse number 1 of chapter 3, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. You say, what are you talking about? In chapter 2, Moses is a soldier. He is a big man. He has the physical ability to stop anybody that steps in front of him and questions him. You think about a leader like that. Had Moses been able, Brother Mark, to lead God's people in that state of chapter 2 the way he was, with that military mind and with that touch, the way that he was in chapter 2, he would have been the first Hitler. You know why? Because anybody that said, hey, Moses, I think we ought to do it this way, he'd have snapped their head off. Guess what? You know what God didn't need to lead his people? He didn't need a soldier. He needed a shepherd. You remember when Samuel was trying to talk the nation of Israel out of getting a king, and they said, give us Saul. You know why? Because Saul was a soldier. He was a big man. He was bigger than anybody else. He looked like a leader. He could do it. He had the ability. He might have had the oratorical ability. He could fight. That's what they wanted. They wanted to be like everybody else. But you know what? God rejected Saul because he was a soldier with a proud heart. And he chose a shepherd with a tender heart. I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing to go to this lost world and to kick their door down and say, you're not doing right and you got to do this better and you got to do this right. But Brother Mark, it's another thing to go to them in tears and get down and deal with them face to face and say, I'm concerned about you. I don't want you to go to hell. I know you're living wrong and I know there's problems, but that's the tender heart that God is wanting in you. You can point out their sin all day long.
But until you go with the tenderness of a shepherd, you'll never do any good. You'll never do any good. He had to change Moses from a soldier to a shepherd. When you see him, he's no longer out front in front of everybody. He's no longer the big man that he was in Egypt. People had posters of Moses in Egypt probably on their wall. Them little boys said, man, when I grow up, I want to be like Moses. And he's flexing, you know, and he's got his arm and he's got his chariot. He's got it all right there. But guess what? God changed him through those days in the wilderness. He was out of the limelight. He was no longer famous. He was no longer big man. He was no longer anything. He was a nobody. He was a dad. He was a shepherd. And he was a husband. And he was a servant of God. By the way, that was God's priority, just so you know. Take time to take care of those things. And I'm trying to preach to myself before I get to that point in life. But you understand, God had to change him from a soldier to a shepherd. Notice his change, but notice his call that God gave him. Verse 4. The Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. You know what God was calling Moses to do in this text? You know the story. He meets at the burning bush. The bush is not consumed. That was anointing. I mean, bushes combusted in that day. That's just what happened in that arid heat, in that climate. And so here he is shepherding those little sheep, and he turns aside to see, and God begins to talk to him, and he knows and recognizes the voice of God, by the way. And so, by the way, you need to recognize the voice of God. That's the reason I say he was focused on the Father. It's because over 40 years, you don't hear that Moses hears anything from God. But he knew and was attuned to the voice of God. And so he gets to the voice of God there in the presence of God at that bush. God begins to deal with him and say, Moses, you've got to go back. And this, now it's time. 40 years have transpired. Now it's time to go back and lead them out. God's got something for him to do. And now it's time to accomplish it. God called him to lead. Christian, God's called you to be a leader. I'm not talking about everybody being a head honcho. A lot of times there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians anyways. A lot of churches, that's the way it is. That I visit, I mean, everybody's wanting to be head honcho and nobody wants to serve. But I'm telling you something. Every Christian is supposed to be a leader in some respect. But you know what God didn't call him to do? God didn't call him to leave them laying like he did in Egypt. It was nothing for Moses to hurt somebody physically. By the way, it's nothing for you to blow off your temper. It's nothing for you to leave. I mean, it's nothing for you to obliterate a situation like he did. But it takes real discernment. It takes real self-control. It takes real power to be able to lead God's people. And that's what God was doing. You know what's amazing about this? I find this. God begins to outline everything that he is going to do with Moses and how he's going to use him to lead. I want you to see something. Something else changed. Not only was there a change made, not only was there a call given, but Moses gets a new commander. Look at what the Bible says. Verse number 11. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Do you understand what changed besides his changing from a soldier to a shepherd and his call? Moses got a new commander in chapter 3. After those 40 years of being, of pouring himself into his family, into his and his flock and his heavenly father, after he spent those years, God pulls him aside and gives him a new commander. You realize it was not until after the wilderness experience was over with in Moses' life that he was ready to go back as an 80-year-old man and do what God had called him to do. Just so you know, years don't mean God's getting through with you. Just so you know, God's still got something for you to do. You look at really, I mean, I know they lived a whole lot longer than we do now. I'm just saying, a lot of times later in life is when God really used some of these men. no longer. See, in chapter 2, I know you could tell me this. I know you could. And I hope I'm not boring y'all to death. I probably am. But anyway, the commander in chapter number 2 was Moses. That was Moses' commander. Moses' commander was Moses. Because Moses could do it. Moses knew it. Moses could handle it. It was all about Moses. He'd been pumped into him. And that was what he was going to do, was what Moses said to do. But now he's to a place of submission. God oftentimes brings detours in your life to get you to a point of submission where you're willing to say, God, whatever your will is, wherever your will is, however your will is, I'm telling you something. It was no longer himself, but it was his God that was in charge. Isn't it funny how a lot of times we want to do the work of God, but we want our will be done? We say, God, I'll preach your Bible, but I'm going to do with it how I want, and I'm going to teach that lesson, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm willing to witness, but God, I'm going to do it my soul. We better be real careful. I got one more point. Please hang with me. I know it's Sunday night, and I know you want to go watch football, but hang with me just a minute. You see Moses' mentality. You see Moses maturing. But now I want you to remember something. Remember the mark that Moses left on time and eternity. He was a picture of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the great deliverer that brought us out of the sinful bondage of Egypt and the former life that we used to live. Remember, think about this. As Moses began to do this great work for God, God did not let him do it when he thought he was ready to do it. That's amazing. God didn't let him do it when he thought he was ready. He knew he was ready. If you would have went to Moses and asked him, Moses in chapter 2, but if God would have went to him and said, Moses, I need you to lead God's people, he'd probably interrupted God and said, yes, sir, God, I can do it. I'll be right on that. Because he could do it. That was his attitude in chapter 2. But by the chapter 3 and chapter number 4, some things have changed. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. You know what Moses is saying? God, I can't do it. Before you leave a mark on this life for Christ, you first must be emptied. You must be emptied. Emptied of yourself, emptied of your motives, emptied of your pride, emptied of your self-will. Before you ever know the power of God, before I ever knew what the touch of God was, Brother Mark, on my life and on my ministry, I had to find a place where God could empty me. You'll never be anything of a church member until you let God empty you. You know how God empties? Divine detours. You know what I learned on that trip that day? I was just looking at the scenery and God was speaking to my heart and I was going through the scriptures and rejoicing in that and just thinking about the Word of God. But you know what I was empty of by the time I got down there? I was empty of this thought process that I knew what was best for me. I threw that out the window because God got me where I needed to be. Christian, God may have to put you on some detours to make you realize He knows what's best for you, and you don't always know what's best for you. Daddy's, listen, He knows what's best for your family. Mama's, listen, He knows what's best for your children. Brother Mark, He knows what's best for Pinnacle Baptist Church, and God is going to direct. His emptying, He came to a place where He says, I can't, I've watched it. I've watched y'all do it here in revival meetings. You come to the altar and you say, oh God, I can't save them. I can't save our lost loved ones. I can't save this one or that one. But oh God, I know you're big enough to. And God, if you want it done, then you just send me and I'll be ready. But oh God, I can't do it on my own. His emptying. But then you see His empowering. When God told him, I am that I am, has sent me unto you, when He gave him that word, He was empowering him. Do you realize what the power of God is in the New Testament unto salvation? Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know what God didn't do to Moses in our text? He didn't make him some superman.